Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Debbie Phillips is a pioneer in the field of life and executive coaching. She's been a radio and newspaper reporter. She's a former Governor Dick Celeste press secretary and an executive of a television production company. She also is the founder of the Women on Fire organization. I call it a movement. Debbie now lives in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, but she's a native Ohioan with strong roots in the Buckeye State. I understand she returned here in part to go to her dentist. So, you know, we love that. Welcome to the WOSU studio today.
Hi, Ann. I'm so happy to be here. I love coming home. And I have to tell you, I listened to the first hour with Lee Leonard. I'm glad this is not a TV show because I was smudging my mascara. I mean, that was my life, and I love Lee so much.
Just to hear his voice. Oh. And Deb's in his book as well. You mentioned a couple times. Also, Patricia Wynn Brown. She is well known for her hair theater episodes. She performs them across the country. She's also written two books and is a three-time winner of the James Thurber Summer Writing Contest. And she was a featured humorist in the PBS documentary about Irma Bombeck.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here.
I'm so happy to be here, and I love your show, and congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Getting this show.
Thank
it's
you.
Wonderful.
Thanks. It's been a riot. You know, when I moderated a panel on this topic, Women on Fire, and the first thing you said to me after we ended it was, you ought to have a radio show, and looky here.
There, see? I'm sort of clairvoyant that way.
It kind of freaked me out.
I'm like Dionne Warwick. I've got psychic friends.
It freaked me out.
I can't wait for the callers on this segment.
And I didn't have the show yet, by the way. I'd only just applied. Virginia Barney, since 2000, has served as Upper Arlington's city manager. She serves on all sorts of community boards and advocates for fire safety education, and you will find out why in a few minutes because it's a very important part of her story. Welcome, Ginny.
Good morning. It's great to be here and join these two exciting women.
It's great to all be back together again.
Yeah,
it's,
we're a good team.
But yeah, you are.
We're like the Lennon sisters of comedy.
So I think that for folks who aren't familiar with the movement, maybe we ought to just ask right off the bat, what is a woman on fire?
Well, a woman on fire is somebody who lives from her passion. And the organization Women on Fire are women who live from their passion, and they help each other live from their passion. Because sometimes we don't always know what exactly it is we want in the world, or we're not able to express it. But when we come together and help each other do that, there's a big fire and a big blaze.
How does it happen? How do you decide you're a woman on fire?
Well, you know, I first started out as a coach. So I was a life and executive coach, and I helped people get in touch. I mean, my particular specialty was helping people get in touch with their gifts. And a lot of times it takes someone else helping us. And coaching also is a wonderful way to figure out what is it, what are my passions. And so from there, I was working with so many fabulous women, and they were mostly isolated. We are so busy as women. There's just so much that's going on that we don't even have time a lot of times to do the work on ourselves. So Women on Fire actually grew out of my coaching practice. I began putting the fabulous women I know, including the two in this room and three just knowing you, I started putting them together. And together, we began to support each other. And really, you're a woman on fire when you're feeling a deep sense of accomplishment about what you're sharing in the world.
And but the phrase, it's interesting because you had that feeling from meeting all of these fabulous women.
Yeah.
You had that feeling, but you didn't have the phrase.
I didn't have the phrase. And how I got it, the phrase "women on fire," I moved from Columbus to Boston in 1996, and shortly after that, I saw a little ad in the paper for a documentary film called Women on Fire. I went to it. I met the producer of it, a woman named Kathleen Laughlin, and I could not get the words Women on Fire out of my mind. I just thought there was something so exciting about it. Well, many years passed, and this was also before Google, so I couldn't just go Google it. I was at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, and clear across the room I saw a woman in a white T-shirt emblazoned Woman on Fire. I'm like, oh, my God, there's my woman. So I tore across the room, literally pulling chairs out of the way because I thought, oh, I can't miss grabbing this woman and reminding her that I'd met. When I did, I said, oh, I met you. I loved your film. And she's smiling. And she said, what film? I'm a playwright and I have a play, Woman on Fire. So I thought, what are the chances that I'm going to meet these two people? And at the same time was when I was thinking about putting the women together in my life that I coached. And it just seems like such a natural to call it Women on Fire. And both Kathleen Laughlin and Irene O'Garden, who was the playwright, were just so encouraging of me. They're like, Debbie, whatever you do to inspire women, you go for it. Use the name, whatever.
Was the play Women on Fire or Woman on Fire? Was it a Did it embrace the same sort of feeling?
It did. Interestingly, Judy Ivey, who's a fabulous Broadway actress, was the one who embodied Woman on Fire. And I think it was 26 or 7 personalities. And yes, it was so interesting. All of the women, both the movie and the play were inspirational. Because all the women in them were just, just took their lives and did something with it. And it was fascinating.
So there's a book. Did the book come first or the tea party?
Oh, good question. I think the tea party came first. The tea parties came first. I began putting women in small groups of 15 to 18, although we're having one in Columbus tomorrow night. And I think Andrea Dowding told me that it's 26, which is a very, very large
group. Well, it's your hometown.
It's my hometown.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here.
A lot of fans, probably.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I love it.
So the tea parties, let's talk about the tea parties and then
Sure. Well, the tea parties grew from my desire, this putting the clients together at that point. They were my coaching clients, these women who are really busy. And I was thinking, what if I have a 3-hour tea party where they can just each woman can just say what she's on fire about or not? Because if you're not on fire, it's wonderful to sit in the energy of women who are. And I just saw how magical that was. I started it in New York. We became very successful in New York, and it was so funny. Andrea Dowding, who's from here, and she's a Women on Fire leader here, said to me, Debbie, why aren't you doing these in your hometown, Columbus? And when we had this breakfast, I said, oh, Andrea, I was just trying to get it really successful. And then I was going to take it to Columbus. And she goes, what? You were trying to make it successful in New York first. And that is what we did. We then came to Columbus.
There's a DVD as well, a documentary out about it, Women on Fire. And I was watching that this morning. And it was so – and I saw Patty on that.
Yes.
And it was so sweet when the folks would – the women would – say what they thought of when they had been invited to this tea party, and they're like, well, okay, I'll go to a tea party. All right. I'll drink tea and maybe have some scones. And it was funny. What did you think, Patty, when you heard about the tea party?
Well, first of all, I love tea. And second of all, where I come from, you can get a lot of business done over a cup of tea. And tea to me is a very soothing, comforting, social type of activity, and I thought to come together with women and tea, it's just the perfect thing to do, and it was perfect, and I went to the tea party. We had a marvelous time, and with women, I think when we come together, it's not a networking situation, which is such a formal and almost seems slightly unscrupulous, you know, to use other people. This is women standing on each other's shoulders to get to a different place. It's a scaffolding where we automatically help each other. I've seen that. I grew up here in Columbus. I grew up on the West Side, and I often talk about clothesline therapy. Our mothers would do clothesline therapy. They'd be out hanging the wash, and they'd have all these kids, not even their own. There'd be just kids hanging on their legs, and the mothers would help each other over the fence. And can you take my kids today? And I've got trouble in the house. Can you come over here and help us? Or here's a casserole. I know things aren't going very well. It's women helping women here in Women on Fire to achieve their higher selves. And sometimes we're afraid to do that. But when you're in the comfort of a group of women who understand what you're trying to do and then there's a nice warm cup of tea involved in it.
And some scones.
And scones. You can change the world. You yeah. can.
Ginny, what did you think when you were invited to a tea?
Well, my first tea party was an all-day affair, and it was in New York City, and it was when the chapter authors gathered from around the country and shared their stories, and we ended with a tea party. And I've got to say it was one of the most inspiring and heartfelt days that I had spent, because these women were all sharing their stories. And each of them touched each of the people in the room greatly. And I think one of the things that I have found as I talk about this book with others and share my story is that we all have a story that sometimes we don't recognize or value our stories. And so it's great to value each other's story.
Yeah, I'm thinking one of the women, the whole idea about feeling comfortable with your story on the DVD this morning when I was listening, she said that she didn't feel comfortable with it until she started to share it. It really helped her learn to share her story. And then, because unless you can actually say it out loud, sometimes it doesn't seem real, right, Deb?
Right. No, that's exactly right. And in the book, which is it was 20 women which shared their stories. Most of the authors came back to me at some point and said, this was really healing. I really didn't know there was a story there. And they all did it to help other women, which was just so touching, deeply touching to me.
And you know, when you put your life event into the form of a story, whether telling it or writing it, you then have the power over what happened. When it's just rattling around in your brain, and maybe you exchange bits of it with other people, but when you actually put it down, this is what happened, and you make your own little A&E biography of yourself, autobiography mm-hmm. of yourself, you are the one in charge, and you have framed it, and you understand it once you've done it.
You know, Debbie is a very good writer. She could have just taken each of your stories and written it for you in a way. And that would have been almost perfectly fine. No, it wouldn't have been. But when you read each story, the personality of each person comes out. And before I met mm-hmm. you two last spring, I felt like I knew you a little bit just from reading it in your own words and in your own syntax. And, and Patty, the way you lay out your stories is very unusual and interesting. And
we let her do that. We let her play with her own crayons.
I had permission. I am an unusual girl.
We're all unusual. That was, to see it in print was what was so charming and edifying.
Isn't it nice to hear the different voices of the women through their writing? Debbie's a beautiful writer, and probably there will be another book in her own writing. But to hear the women's voices through their writing, to me, was part of the charm of this book.
Absolutely. If you're just dropping in, my guest today, Debbie Phillips, she's the author of Women on Fire and the Movement. She founded the movement Women on Fire. I call it a movement. I don't know what you call it, but it's an organization. And also Patricia Wynn Brown. She's known for her hair theater episodes. You've probably seen them. She's very popular. She performs them across the country, but she's from Columbus. And also Ginny Barney. She's the city manager for Upper Arlington. She's done doing that since 2000. She's a professional city manager now, but she started out not necessarily knowing where she was headed. So we're going to learn a bit about her path in a few minutes when we return. If you'd like to ask questions, talk, comment. If you feel like you're a woman on fire and want to check it out with Debbie Phillips, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Good morning, you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Give the gift of a personal greeting from your family this holiday season. Join WOSU Public Media at COSI for an exclusive family event to teach your kids how to record a holiday greeting. Each family will receive a PBS Kids USB bracelet with their recording safely stored on it. Space is limited and one bracelet is issued per family. Call 614-292-9678 to register. That's 614-292-9678 to register for this event at COSI. 49 degrees in downtown Columbus, a high wind warning in effect until Thursday morning. Cloudy with a chance of rain and snow showers this afternoon. Temperatures falling throughout the afternoon to about 32 degrees. We could see wind gusts of up to 60 miles per hour. Currently 49 degrees in downtown Columbus at 1121. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest today, Debbie Phillips. She's the author of Women on Fire. It's subtitled 20 Inspiring Women Share Their Life Secrets and Save You Years of Struggle. Mm-hmm. So it's 20 different essays by 20 different women about what makes them a woman on fire and how they got there. One of them is Ginny Barney. She is a city manager in Upper Arlington. She's also in the studio today. And Ginny, your story's interesting because it started out in a snuggly Saturday afternoon. It was raining outside or snowing or something, and all was well right. with the world. You were a you stayed home and were raising your children. Your husband had just gone off to do a little work at the office that day, and then, you know, all hell broke loose.
Absolutely.
What happened?
Well, I had two kids at home at the time. One was two, one was five, and it was a Saturday morning. It was in February. It was cold and snowy outside, and just a perfect cartoon morning. And all of a sudden, I heard a loud noise and a scream coming from my two-year-old. And you can tell I'm breaking up already because it is so vivid to me even now, 30
years later.
The sound,
you can still hear it.
I can still hear it. What had happened, he had plugged something into the wall. They had sparked, set the floor-to-ceiling drapes on fire on top of him. So from there, we called the fire department, but not in your usual way because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, here, highly educated, or educated, I won't say highly, or at least they'd sent me to school. So
don't start ratcheting it down.
You think you should know these things before 911. And so
But there was no 911. This was 1980. There was no 911, which is shocking.
Shocking. You know. And so what do you do when you have a fire in your house and two small kids? I thought, fire extinguisher. Ran for that. Realized I have no idea how to work a fire extinguisher. And I have two screaming kids, one badly burned at the time. And so I made a telephone call. Who'd I call? I called my husband's office. I mean, you don't operate normally in abnormal situations. Or you think you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so we waited outside. Then we raced outside and waited for the fire truck to come. And that's when my life turned around, the direction of my life turned around.
You were frustrated because you didn't know what to do.
I didn't know what to do. I thought I did, but I didn't. And I realized as I was at the burn unit at Children's Hospital and working with those that maybe my life could make a difference by teaching kids and parents what to do if there is a fire, that it has to be so routine, so practiced, so that you know when it happens that you that becomes almost rote. And so I worked with the fire division in Upper Arlington and started the fire safety program for kids.
Which seems so intuitive. I mean, how could there not have been a program out there before?
Yes, absolutely. And it was one of the first in the country that we began by researching. And then every year for every child that was in preschool through grade 8 has an age-appropriate class and gathered a few women volunteers that helped me, and we did that work, and I'm really excited to know that it is continuing today in Upper Arlington and now has been mimicked across the country.
You would have been happy with that. That felt good, but they wouldn't let you stop. They being, you know, the people who realized, here's someone who's smart and well-educated.
Well, and I think that's the lesson. Things just kind of roll forward. You know, they asked if I'd lead a police and fire pension levy. Never done anything political. I said sure, because I cared about it. Then there was an opening on city council, and they asked if I would send in my resume. It was an appointment. Mm-hmm. I never would have run for election by myself because it just doesn't feel right saying, vote for me, I'm the best there is. It feels much better to be asked. So I was chosen and served on city council, then had two elections. So I was there for 9 years and really enjoyed giving back to my community. And it just kept rolling forward.
Right. It just keeps rolling. That's the path, isn't it?
Exactly.
If you're just tuning in, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. And my guest today, Debbie Phillips, author of Women on Fire. Also, Patricia Wynn Brown.
I have many names. It's a legal problem. I don't want to talk about
also
that.
Known as, also known as.
AKA.
Also known as.
A.K.A.
You know Pat from her hair theater productions. They're very popular in town. She does them across the country. The one I saw for the first time was Hey Dude.
Dude, Where's My Hair?
Where's My Hair?
With My Little Dudes.
Oh, tell us. I want to talk about your story, but I want to talk about Hey Dude, Where's My Hair, too. So maybe just tell us, Hey Dude, how'd you get here, Patty?
This Dude show is one of the hair theater episodes I've wanted to do for a long time with young people who have lost their hair due to their medical treatments. And six wonderful children and their families came forward. And we went into a series of workshops. They wrote their monologues, their stories. And when we talk about a position of power, the children had been very ill, and some of them remain very ill. And they were able to frame their own journeys, because we all know it's all about the hair. But that really is just the beginning of the story, because our hair has to do with our identity, our sense of who we want to be, and our hopes and dreams. And my little dudes have hopes and dreams, ages 6 to 23. Mm-hmm. And we put our show on with the help of some OSU Buckeyes, including Mr. Doug Worthington, whom I'm a huge fan of as a result of his wonderful participation. So we'll do it again in February, February 8th, with our children. Sadly, we lost one of our children, Samantha McCarthy, age 11, on October 15th. But because people are so strong and courageous, her grandmother will, again, help with her story. And her little brother, Joe, who's age 6, has become my deputy sheriff, because we're doing the show with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and their foundation is supporting our work. And Joe is going to be running my penalty box that I will have for errant audience members. And as you know, in my audience, there are often people who need to be penalized. So Joe is in charge of that. We're coming back February 8th at the Abbey Theater.
There, at the show I saw in Dublin, there were little packets of tissues in every other seat.
That's
and
right.
I kind of set mine aside, and then the woman sitting next to me said, oh, no, you're going to need that.
Yeah.
So I've been to three of these already. You're going to need it, and indeed I did.
And, but, you know, it's not a sad show. It's very uplifting. And so people say, oh, I can't bear to go see that. It's so uplifting. And you have to understand, humor is what I do. I don't do comedy. Humor is about the truth. And the truth is comedy and tragedy mixed together. And Jackie Gleason said, if I don't make an audience laugh and cry, I haven't done my job. And that's what I try to do in hair theater.
You succeed, but how did you find your way to hair theater? How did you find your way? Because you started out, you're going to be a speech therapist because you liked what the guy looked like in the
picture.
With the picture with the ear headphones on. So
right.
Don't even look at my job, okay, Patty?
Listen.
You can't have my job.
I do love radio, and I love you on the radio too, but I wanted to be able to tell my story. And you can do that, I discovered, through like one-woman shows. And if you have a one-woman show, it's your story, and I wouldn't have to memorize lines, which I am phobic about, having had one line in the high school play, walking out on stage at Bishop Reedy High School, and I forgot it. So I just have little outline of what I follow, what comes next, and I love telling my stories. And so I was watching my hairdresser one day, and everybody's telling her all their problems, and she's sort of solving them, and they bring in little pictures of Jennifer Aniston, and they want to look like her. And I thought, this is all about hopes and dreams, and I'm all about hopes and dreams, as Debbie Phillips is about hopes and dreams with Women on Fire. And I thought, I think I can raise spirits by just telling these crazy stories. And also, I get to wear a big bouffant hairdo, just
awesome.
Like Chris Borchers had at high school, the best hair in the school. And I get to sort of look like her on stage.
You have a website.
I do. Hairtheater.net.
Okay, hairtheater.net. You can see the bouffants and everything. It's a wonderful website. Let's take a few calls now, 614-292-8513. We like emails, too. You can do that. allsides@wosu.org. We'd love to hear from you. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi. My name is Laura. I am a pediatric occupational therapist. I've been practicing about 10 years in the Columbus area, and I definitely have a passion. My passion is educating parents about the dangers of what I call life in a bucket seat, starting from infancy until I wind up working with kids who really are typical kids, but who wind up having a slew of developmental problems because they've never gotten out on the floor and moved around.
Wow.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it really is kind of a problem right now. And what I would love to know is a little bit more about how to get involved in this organization, because I, for a long time, have thought, home with two kids and also trying to work, how do I do this? How do I go big? How do I teach kids that we don't want to call it crisscross applesauce anymore, because applesauce is a big pile of mush on the floor, and start a countrywide Sit Strong program, Sit Strong, Crisscross, Sit Strong. And I don't know where to go. I'm just, you know, a home therapist.
Just.
I want to suggest.
I love that.
But, you know, I go to schools, but I want to go big, and I don't know how to do that. And so I'd love to hear some more information about this organization, because it sounds really inspirational.
Okay. And Laura, you just started your movement just now, so you're already rolling with it.
Thank you.
Debbie?
You. Laura, you sure are. So you are a woman on fire. I know them in 3 seconds, and you are one already. Did you say you live in Dublin?
I live in Bexley.
Oh, you live in Bexley. Mm-hmm. Fabulous, since you're in the Columbus area. Mm-hmm. One of the things at Women on Fire that we talk about is that we say that the three things most important is to have inspiration, strategies, and support. Mm-hmm. You sound like you've thought through what you want to do, and you just need a little support.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the great thing about Columbus, Ohio. There is actually a Women on Fire coaching group, mm-hmm. and the leader is Andrea Dowding. And
okay.
if you either go to my blog, which is debbiephillips.com, or email me at debbie@beawomanonfire.com,
okay.
I will put you in touch with Andrea Dowding. And
fabulous.
You will meet some other women, and they meet on a regular basis to help each other take the next steps of their life.
That is fantastic.
I can't wait to hear about
this
your
This is a great
experience.
Show. It's wonderful to hear women doing this.
Oh,
it's
thanks,
great.
Laura. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Debbie also has a website. It's called beawomanonfire.com. So beawomanonfire.com. Probably you can get a lot more information there, too. Okay, let's take another call. Anne, you're on the air. Nice
Thank
name.
You very much. Mm-hmm. This is Anne, and I'm calling not so much with a question, but just I can feel the heat from the fire.
I just took my jacket off, okay? Guilty.
And I am calling just to say that I have been an audience participator in Patty Brown's shows
yeah.
for many years, and I encourage everyone to go.
Yeah.
It's good for yourself and for your soul, but it's also good for other people. Who can benefit from her wig fund that she does. So I'll hang up now, and thank you both very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne, and the martini is in the mail.
If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. If you think you might be a woman on fire, give us a call. We can run it by Debbie Cantell in 3 seconds.
I can. Two, maybe now.
Two. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you want to, if you're missing the show and you want to listen to it later, you can download the podcast from our website, wosu.org/allsides. You want to give that a shot? You can just go and listen to it, too. And if you want to listen to this online when you get into the office because you're stuck out in the parking lot right now, you can do it there as well. My guests today, Debbie Phillips, Patricia Wynn Brown, Virginia Barney, all of them are in the book, Women on Fire, 20 Inspiring Women Share Their Life Secrets and Save You Years of Struggle. I was wondering, Debbie, how you organized the book when you did that, how you decided to do it the way you did.
Well, after hearing Ginny's story and Patty's, I mean, I've been so fortunate to have these two women in my life for a long time. I always thought their story was really, really critical and essential, and that other women would find real connection with it. So they are just two of the wonderful examples of the other 17, because I actually wrote a chapter myself.
Right.
Myself in the book. What I was looking for is I was looking for common struggles or issues that women may have over the course of their lifetime, and the women who'd worked it through, who had the wisdom and the strategy. And Patty was kind enough to say, I am doing Women on Fire book two,
oh.
which will be 20 new struggles. I wasn't able in this particular book. We dealt with grief. We dealt with eating disorders. We dealt with finding your passion. You know, obviously Ginny and Patty's marvelous stories. But there were a lot of things that I didn't deal with anything with sexual abuse or, you know, dealing with a special needs child or there's just so many different things. And I want to include that in the next book. The way that it got organized really was I was looking for particular struggles, divorce, you know, death of a spouse, death of a child, finding passion. And I knew that, you know, I knew women who had worked it through, had faced those issues and worked it through. And there's a marvelous chapter about finding a relationship, because I got a lot of women coming to me about wanting to be in a relationship. So there's a great book, great chapter in the book called Finding Love Way Past 40, and it's an amazing story. And so the way that it got organized was I wanted each woman to be able to tell her story, and she did. And then there's a marvelous woman from Columbus named Casey Cook who worked with me every single day for 4 months, and we edited the book to keep the women's voices but yet have a feel that these stories belong in the book. And she, Casey Cook, wrote a chapter herself that is just heartfelt and marvelous. So there's a really good Columbus contingent here.
Just as an outside reader, yeah. two sort of themes came out to me. Yeah. Women who were changed from the outside in. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ginny, who had an event happen, something happened mm-hmm. that radicalized her in a way. I don't want to say that Arlington city manager. I don't want to read into that. But it radicalized her. It made her it turned her on
and
activated her. And then also then there were other stories about the inner struggle, about what do I want to do with my life? And I know I don't really want to do this, but maybe in Patty's case, I know I should be doing this, so I'm going to be a speech therapist. And there was another story in the book about the woman who really was born a personal shopper.
Yes.
And
she
was telling her mom what to wear to parties when she was, you know, practically in diapers.
Tiny.
And she finally realized that and realized also that her parents were proud of her and that they loved her no matter what she did. But that was sort of an internal out thing. Are there other ways that the change occurs?
No, and I think you've got it. You know, it's either an inside or, you know, an outside or an inside. But I want to say something too about one of the things that one of the thoughts I had when I was putting the book together is, and in this particular group, I would say Ginny and I are both very soft personalities, and we are very strong women. And Patty is very, you know, Patty's a very strong woman. And you know, but Ginny and I are very soft. That can be mistaken sometimes. And I wanted to have women in the book who were soft and really strong and had, so that other women who are out there who don't feel like, well, I'm not a big forceful personality or I can't really, you know, get out there. You know, so that they would identify with
it's not a personality type, then. Women on Fire, all different personalities.
Exactly.
It's not a type of personality.
Exactly. And just like I can figure out in 3 seconds if you're a woman on fire, I know very, very, there is no woman I have ever met that doesn't have a spark in there someplace. It might be really buried, and she might be thinking that there's not one in there, but there always is.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Think you're a woman on fire? Give us a call. Debbie can tell very quickly.
And I'm down to 1 second.
And you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, Clint Eastwood, who directed the new film Invictus, and Morgan Freeman, who stars as Nelson Mandela.
This is no time to celebrate petty revenge. This is the time to build our nation. You elected me your leader. Let me lead you now.
Freeman and Eastwood on the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. On Monday, December 14th at 9 p.m., watch Anatomy of a Pandemic on WOSU-TV. In response to the 2009 H1N1 influenza virus pandemic, Ray Suarez from PBS NewsHour examines the human dimension of the pandemic's impact on modern society and the science and history of those health crises. Catch this report from the front lines of the outbreak to control the effort. It's Monday night at 9 on WOSU-TV. And 49 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:41. A high wind warning in effect until 1 a.m. Thursday morning. Cloudy skies today with a chance of rain and snow showers this afternoon. Temperatures falling this afternoon to around 32 degrees. And strong winds today. We could see gusts of up to 60 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight with a chance of snow tonight and a windy evening as well. A low of 17 degrees. All Sides continues on WOSU.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about Women on Fire with Debbie Phillips, the author of the book Women on Fire. She's got another one on the way, so you might want to look for that as well. You can learn more about her organization, BeAWomanOnFire.com, at that website. Also, Patricia Wynn Brown, she is the founder of Hair Theater. She's a humorist. She travels the country entertaining people with the humor that's always has a little bit of bite to it, and which is what makes it so funny.
I just gnaw a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you nibble away. And Virginia Barney, she's a city manager for Upper Arlington. She was ignited as a woman on fire, but she didn't you didn't necessarily know it at the time. What about women who don't know that they're a woman on fire?
I think it's much easier to identify in other women than it is in ourselves, because we just do what comes to us and handle it day to day, and we think we're just living. Mm-hmm. And it's not. But when I look at you and when I look at the women here, I know that they're women on fire. And Debbie was saying she can see it in the callers. But I think there are a lot of women who just don't think they have given anything or accomplished mm-hmm. anything. This is just my life. Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about me. And I think we need to help each other as women point that out, that what great gifts we have and how we can see that ignition in others.
Well, and I feel so strongly about that. I mean, that's why the organization really got started, because it's so much more powerful to be together and in a way that is very safe, because women do tell me, you know, I'll get into a group and they won't feel safe enough in a group. And that is one of the hallmarks of Women on Fire. We've made it very safe. And there are certain things, Women on Fire is built on 20 aspirations. I know you know them, Anne. There's a very long list.
But I love that list.
Thank you. It was created to really help women be with each other, because I have to tell you, and I'm all over the country talking about this, and I see women not sometimes knowing how to be together in a group to really support each other. It's not because they don't want to. It's that they don't know how, and they haven't had the role models in some instances to support each other.
And you know, there's not a person on this earth that doesn't have a secret dream that
yes.
if fear, money, and time weren't there, that they would like to pursue. And I just wanted to question Ann Fisher, because you've just gone through a transformation and a change in job, and you were facing uncertainty, as our good colleagues over at the Dispatch, you know, they're going through tough times with newspapers, and you've made a transition to radio. And I was wondering what that felt like, and I imagine you were scared.
I was reading one of the stories in the book about this feeling of just plowing ahead. You just plow ahead and you do it, and it's taking the risks and stuff is a big part of that, and just jumping. And that is part of what I do. I don't mind change, but this was drastic, going from mm-hmm. print, which I'd been in for 27 years, to the on the air, and it was very nerve-wracking and exhausting. But I never once knew that it was right away, and I just didn't feel any regrets. But part of that is, you know, you just embrace things as they come to you. Like Jenny said, you just, it's coming at you. Are you going to embrace it? Are you going to sidestep it? You know, how are you going to handle stuff that comes at you? And I think if you embrace it, you know, if it's something positive, and I think change is usually pretty positive no matter what.
And so, you had to be bold to do it. And the German philosopher Goethe says, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And imagine when you took the leap, people surrounded you and helped you, and people you might not even suspected would, to be able to help you to learn this new job.
And people still do. It's really wonderful that some of the letters I get from listeners who say, you know, you're doing a great job, you're working really hard, you might want to slow down when you're giving the phone number out. You know, stuff like that. They're very sweet, very supportive. Not everybody is, but I always, of course, I'm going to embrace the sweet, supportive ones, and I'm going to forget, you know, the negative and derogatory ones. Mm-hmm. But Debbie, you've had lots of change in your life.
Oh, so. I sure have. But how did you know? I'm just curious. Like, how did you know this is the right thing for me once you made the transition? How did you know?
Well, I knew it before I made the transition. And it was something that I always thought my predecessor, Fred Anderle, the great Fred Anderle, it was one of those jobs. If someone would ask me, what is one thing you would want to do in town if you couldn't be a columnist or you know, a reporter or an editor, whatever I was? And I said, oh, I think I would like Fred Anderle's job. You know, that looks like a gas, you know, just to sit around and talk to people where the product is the conversation and not, you know, my distillation of the conversation. And because I, you know, I love to gab, and it just seemed like a dream, you know, it would be a dream come true. And then, you know, a friend of mine, when they found out Fred was going to retire, said, you ought to apply for that job. I think you'll get it. And then, of course, Pat underscored that, you know, practically a total stranger. But
Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, baby.
Right. It was a sign.
And, you know, when we do these new things, too, we always have self-doubts and negative self-talk. I'm curious if from everyone, when the doubts come, the anxieties come, and they do arrive at 3 in the morning.
Oh, yes.
And you wake up, just call me. I'm awake then.
Okay.
And what do the three of you women do with your self-doubts? How do you handle?
Yeah, Debbie, what do you do?
I got this from Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way. I write a letter to my higher self, or I talk to my higher self, and I just say, just kind of pretend she's my big sister, and I just say, calm down, okay, you know, what is the right thing for you to be doing? And actually the visualization is somebody higher up than me, it's me speaking to me, and I almost always come up with the right whatever. So that's one quick way. How about the two of you?
And mine is very similar. I think you need to know internally what you're doing and why you're doing it and for the right reasons. My life is way more public than I ever thought it would be, which comes with, I mean, people praise me privately and criticize me in the letter to the editor.
Right. Here, yes.
And, you know, that unless you feel that you're doing the right thing with the right spirit and the right intentions, you're going to dissolve. And so 20 years later, I just keep trying to do good things every day.
And, you know, you girls are familiar with my strategy, and I do the WWJD, what would Jackie do? Jackie
so
Kennedy.
Is there a book now? Isn't there a book?
They stole my idea.
Oh, darn them.
WWJD, so you ask yourself, well, what would Jackie do?
What would Jackie do? And I do have a picture of Jackie's eyes above
the
door. Follow me around, and I will look at that picture, and I'd say, Jackie, what would you do? And she sort of... You know, she doesn't talk directly to me, but she inspires me.
And I think your comment about you've had some good responses and the negative ones you try to forget, that's a strategy I've had from the beginning, because the good comments, I need to remind myself, and if I get a nice letter, I keep it so I can reread it for in those down times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But those bad ones, I throw them right away because I'm going to remember them. They are in my soul forever.
Yeah.
So I don't need any reminders of those.
It's so much easier to remember the negative than the positive. Is that a socialization thing, or is that just a human nature thing? Debbie, what do you know?
I don't know, but I do have to say this because I lived a quasi-public life.
Yes, you did, as press secretary.
Right, to mm-hmm. Governor Celeste. And one of the things, when I talk, I say in speeches, I think some of the bravest people I have ever known and most courageous people I've ever known are people in politics. And they get such a bad rap, but people in in public life and in public service get all this criticism when they have really tough decisions to make. And that's why I said what I said about Ginny is just such an incredible example. And in fact, Ginny, I'm going to further embarrass you. I told Ginny if she ever would run for governor, I would move to Ohio. And we're even of two separate political parties. I would move back to Ohio to support her because of the kind of public servant that she is. And so I'm glad you have that strategy, because there's way more positive that even politicians get. But we zero in on the negative. It's probably that thing our mother did when they criticized us and we flinched.
Yeah, sit up straight.
Yeah.
And get that hair out of your face.
Yeah, this is a bad thing today. You can't do lucky for radio, but it's not a good hair day for me. And I have, you know, hair
it's
theater.
It's not a good hair day for the entire city of Columbus because there are flying monkeys out there.
That's right.
Watch out for flying houses, everybody.
Oh, 614-292-8513, or you can email us, allsides@wosu.org. You want to talk to Debbie Phillips, Patricia Wynn Brown. I always want to say your whole name when I introduce you, but it's Patty. I'm Virginia Ginny Barney, and we can take those calls right now. We have a few more minutes, 614-292-8513. And Kathy, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi. I've really enjoyed your program.
Thank you.
And Debbie, I've heard of your book before, but I didn't really know much about it until today. And I love networking with other women. And I think it's so important, especially in these uncertain times, to go to these different activities where there are other women, where we can network together, support each other. And I think if you go into it with the idea of that you want to help other people and give, like we are as women, so natural, we're just such natural givers to give of ourselves. And if you go into these situations, I think you get back so much more than what you ever imagined. And I think it's great to be open to that, to those possibilities. And I've been to Patty's show several times, and I've even been in Patty's show once.
Wow. I recognize you, Mother Superior.
I knew you would. And I tell you what, talk about somebody giving back. Yeah. Patty is a perfect example.
Kathy,
of that.
Tell us what Patty does. How does she give back? Because I haven't mentioned that.
She lifts your spirits. It's not only for people who have suffered from cancer, but we all know people who have had cancer. Okay, we all do. My father died from cancer. So, you know, you go to Patty's show, you're uplifted, you have great entertainment, and you're able to give to a very, very worthy cause. And that's what Patty does. And so she gives back. And I think that we as women, we're all so great at being able to give back. And we should recognize that in ourselves. We should applaud that. And we should share that with other women, with other strong women, because that's what we do naturally. We are givers. So I love networking with other women. And I love to support Patty whenever I can. She knows that. And so I want to know really how to get involved in your group, because I love being with people like all of you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's just wonderful. And you raise a really good point about the rising tide lifts all boats. And so when we join forces, we can make a lot of great things happen. It sounds to me like you might even be thinking, have your own group of women that you just meet with regularly, because the regular, consistent support that we give to each other is what makes the difference. But of course, I'm so happy to have you check in at beawomanonfire.com, and then you'll be on our mailing list and receive our free twice a week, Spark, which will give you all the information about Women on Fire, and especially here in Columbus, the groups run by Andrea Dowding and Jerry Browning.
And Kathy, our caller, is a very giving person. I happen to have gone to high school with Kathy. She's a very talented singer, had a wonderful role in The Music Man. I, of course, was just a shapoopy dancer with my now husband.
But you were very good.
Thank you, Kathy.
You were the best shapoopy dancer you could be.
I tried. I tried very hard. But Kathy brought up, I wanted to just mention, part of the proceeds from the shows and the donations go to the WIG Fund, the Hair Theater WIG Fund in Columbus, that helps women and girls who have gone through chemo and have lost their hair, and we've helped 605
605
women.
605 now.
And wigs are about $350
a pop. I
think
when the book came out, it was 350 something.
605. The needs have doubled. And so, yes. Wonderful. And people can, through the Columbus Foundation, give to the wig fund to assist women. They are so grateful. They
and men, men like Patty's show also.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because I'm so gorgeous, you can't tell on the radio how voluptuous I am, but you should see me.
There's something about bouffant hairdos.
Men love that.
You look great, Patty.
Thank you,
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks, ladies. I've enjoyed it.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. I've noticed as over the years as a reporter, you know, particularly I did a lot of feature writing, and I'd often meet, you know, be sent out on a story about a woman maybe had a child who was born deaf or any number of, you know, differences. And it was – I'd be going over to their house and the mom had started a new organization. The mom had started a program. Mm-hmm. The mom – and it's nothing – a lot of times the dad is working and it's a different kind of a thing. But those kind of outside influences, something happens to you and they don't just – deal with it on a personal level, because Ginny, you spent a lot of time in a burn unit.
I did.
You know, you had a lot of things going on in your life. You had to rebuild a house and, you know, all kinds of stuff, but you still thought about how can I make this.
And that healed me. I think sharing my story, sharing what I should have done mm-hmm. and what people can do helped me get stronger and heal.
That is such an important point, because when we serve others, people have such gaps in their lives. They don't know what to do with their lives. And when we find our purpose through groups like Women on Fire, we fill that void. We look different. Ann Fisher looks different to me from the way you did before. And when we're able to help people, I often hear from women, oh, it's so hard for me to accept this. These are not destitute women. These are women working. These are women whose insurance won't pay for whatever reason. But I received a little note, and it's just a couple sentences. And this was sent to me by the mother of a recipient. And let me just read this to you. She said, I just want to personally thank you so much for what you do. My daughter was diagnosed at age 23 with Hodgkin's lymphoma. She had just lost her job, so that left her with no insurance. Her hair started falling out yesterday, and we needed a low-cost wig and scarf. We were told about the Hair Theater Wig Fund. It made her day. With all of our bad news lately, it was so nice to know there are people like you helping people like us. Thank you so much, SK. You get something like that in the mail, and if you've heard negative comments in your life, or you've had negative self-talk, or you're not sure if you're doing the right thing, you get something like that, and you just are affirmed as a human being. This wig fund has done so much more for me than I have ever done for anybody since 2001 when it started. It has made me feel whole, complete, and fulfilled.
I just heard from my producer that we're cracking her up and she wants to be in here with us.
Tell that girl to get in here.
She can't. She has to work. I need her. I need her behind the glass.
All right.
I'm going to have to say goodbye now. The hour just flown by.
You're kidding me.
No, I know. It does that sometimes.
Oh, this has been such a pleasure to be with you, Anne, in your plaid jumper.
She looks really cute. She does.
Radio people. She looks like she's 16 years old.
I dressed for the girls today.
You're a great darling.
My guest, Debbie Phillips, author of Women on Fire. If you want to know more about it, go to beawomanonfire.com. I think you get all the information you need there. I hope so. Debbie, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Anne. This was just delightful. You are great. She's practicing her gift of gab. And I can't think of anybody doing it better.
And we're so lucky to be brought together by Debbie,
absolutely,
aren't we, Ginny? And to be invited here by Anne to speak to the women and men of Columbus. And I hope somebody's ignited out there.
Patricia Wynn Brown, Virginia Barney, thank you as well. I've got to sign off right now, but I hope to see you again soon. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.